Good morning and welcome to the KRFY Community Conversations. This is Julie Calamine, one of your two Tuesday hosts. My co-host Phil Huff is not joining me today. We are really lucky today to be joined by Sam Wilson, who is the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Summer Program Coordinator for 2022. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on, Julie.
Oh, it's good to have you. It's good to see your face on Zoom. I understand you're Zooming me from Montana.
Yep, you bet. Heron, Montana, just across the border.
Yeah, very cool.
1 hour into the future.
1 hour, yes, and 1 hour into the future as well. So it's later for you, but luckily it's not too late to have a great interview. Well, Sam, I hope you'll take a minute and tell our listeners, myself, a bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to be living in the area.
Yeah, you bet. Without diving in too much into the weeds.
Now, you don't have to start at kindergarten, Sam. Just tell us what's important.
A few years ago, about 5 years ago, I was in a program at the University of Montana called Wilderness and Civilization, which engaged students with all kinds of stakeholders, public land stakeholders, everywhere from resource extraction groups to conservation organizations, recreation groups, et cetera. And I was lucky enough to be placed in on a group with Sandy Compton going up the East Fork of Blue Creek in the Scotchman Peaks to clean out an old mining cabin that was filled with all kinds of, you know, plastic tarps and buckets. And Sandy and I hit it off pretty well. As I explained to him that I was also a writer. If folks know who Sandy Compton is, he's our local storyteller extraordinaire. So I also got, you know, a chance to share that my family was from Northwest Montana and that I had never really spent a whole lot of time in the backcountry. And so after talking and then going through, you know, a couple motions, I ended up as the backcountry ranger intern in the summer of 17 for Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, where I got to patrol trails in the Scotchman Peaks, clear trails in the cabinets as well as the Scotchman's, and serve on all kinds of outreach events. And so after a couple of years of living and working between the North Cascades of Northern Washington and in the mountains outside of Portland and in Missoula, everywhere from being running trail crews to teaching poetry with juvenile detention in the juvenile detention system in Montana, I ended up getting a call from Phil a couple weeks ago asking if I wanted to come back. We went through the interview process and I'm here for the summer. So super grateful to Phil and to the community for having me back and really excited to be here.
Well, I can imagine Phil is very happy too, having had you on his staff before. That must have allowed him to expedite the process and get things rolling when he needed a summer program coordinator on short notice. So I think a good situation for both of you, really. Well, Sam, give us a brief description for the maybe one or two listeners in the area that don't know what is the mission and the work of Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness.
Yeah, absolutely. So Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness has a lot of different branches, but all of these branches kind of coalesce and work together to accomplish a few common objectives. And those objectives, if I could try to put it in layman's terms, are connecting the public to public lands through education and stewardship and outreach with an overall goal of protecting and preserving the Scotchman Peaks region in perpetuity, specifically as federal wilderness. But the whole, I think, underneath that is a desire to connect everywhere from youth to you know, folks who are retired and in between to this incredibly unique and biodiverse and just really a really special landscape that is the Scotchman Peaks.
That was a nice description and nice for you to explain it in that way, in that the organization would like to see that designation happen for the wilderness, proposed wilderness area, but their goal is to get people into the wilderness. I like the way you describe that.
Yeah, and to provide many different outlets for that. So
yeah, very good. Well, if you would, let's move on to the work that you're going to be doing. Describe your job for this year.
Oh yeah, it is all kind of, again, I'll have to break it down into small parts for my own self to understand and voice, but essentially Phil brought me in to serve as the program coordinator, which means that I'll be, and I'm currently doing this, ensuring that all of the programs, or not all of them, but a lot of our summer programs are staffed with volunteers, and that those volunteers are prepared for their work and prepared to get out there. And let me think about this, Julie. It's a hard thing to put into words. The Friends of Scotch and Peaks, I'll say, is a primarily volunteer run organization. There's only a few of us. And especially in the summer, we offer all kinds of ways for folks to be engaged with the landscape and with the community surrounding the landscape, everywhere from volunteer trail crew days, where we partner with the Forest Service and rebuilding trails, to serving as trail ambassadors, specifically on Scotchman Peak, which involves getting the public around safety with mountain goats and around enjoying the landscape as well. Among other things, tabling at farmers markets, outreach events. We'll be running, as I teach poetry on the side, and I'm a writer as well. I'll be leading a creative writing workshop this July in the Ross Creek Cedars, and then having a reading with folks up in Libby at Cabin of Mountain Brewing. So everywhere from trail crews to trail ambassadors to poetry workshops, my job is to make sure that the volunteers have what they need to succeed, and to make sure that we get volunteers to sign up in the first place. So, lost you, Julie.
I was muted because I had to cough for a moment and I thought I had unmuted and I didn't. The struggles of Zoom in the modern age and recording. Anyway, what I was starting to say was that it sounds like quite a varied position, and you sound like just the person for it. Something I would like to touch on is that there is a bit of a history around part of your position. That's the trail ambassador. Something happened to create the position, correct?
Yeah, a handful of years ago, and I won't get too far into the weeds about this because this was before my time, but a handful of years ago, there was a negative encounter between a mountain goat and a hiker in which that hiker was injured. I believe they were gored, but it was it wasn't a life-threatening injury, but it very well could have been on Scotchman Peak. And similar things have happened elsewhere in the Northwest, including Olympic National Park, where mountain goats tend to get habituated to human visitors to their habitat, given that they're seeking something that they can't find really accessibly in the mountains, which is salt. Humans are fantastic sources of salt. And especially when they've been hiking for a couple hours, they've gone a couple thousand feet. It's a hot day and they're sweating a lot. A couple of years ago on Scotchman Peak, this is pre-2017, somebody had a negative encounter with a mountain goat when they let that mountain goat get too close to them when it was trying to lick their salt, and ended up getting wounded. And the Forest Service and Fish and Game got together and we're talking and trying to figure out, what are we going to do about this? One of them is to euthanize the mountain goats or to move them, which are kind of last resort options. And it seems like they were kind of getting there. And then the other option was to close down Scotchman Peak, close down the trail for a while until those mountain goats were less habituated to human activity.
Did they close it for part of that summer? It seems to me it was closed for a little while.
That happened. Well, and that's part of the whole story and arc of that, is that ultimately they didn't have to make a decision. They were kind of saved from making a decision by a wildfire that ended up burning in that region and closed down the trail and kind of helped damper down some of that activity. But it still left this question in the air of what are we going to do about mountain goat behavior and human interactions with those mountain goats? Which is where the Friends of Scotch and Peaks came in and offered this creative solution, which is let's empower volunteers to engage with the hiking public around proper mountain goat interactions, ethical and proper mountain goat interactions. So make sure you have a positive experience with the mountain goats, and then make sure the mountain goats don't get habituated. And so Phil told me this story recently, and I've heard it many times. So I'm believing I believe we started in 15 or 16. And I don't have the exact date on that, but we've been running for a number of years. And since then, there have been zero negative encounters with mountain goats.
Well, that is amazing. So you all must be doing something right. It's good to hear that. Sam, what do you like most about working with volunteers with Friends of Scotchman Peaks?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a twofold thing, Julie, and that's a great question. Number one is the volunteer community is incredibly robust and incredibly diverse as far as backgrounds, affiliations, identity. We've got everywhere from folks who have been volunteering for years and years and years, who know the backcountry like the back of their hand. And then we've had folks who just moved to Bonner County. We've had folks who come all the way from Spokane, come all the way from Portland, come from Missoula. And I've, shout out to the Sanchez family, because now we've got really young ones who are absolutely in love with the mountain range and love to volunteer and serve. So that's been a huge gift to me as somebody who kind of has in the past just passed through the area, to really feel like I get to witness this really incredible, supportive, tightly knit community, much more diverse than you'd think. The other part of that is the thing that binds everybody together is a common love of this incredible place. Place that I love, deep in my heart. I love the Tag Alder and Devil's Club Wallows, the high craggy peaks. Everything about this region is incredibly unique compared to elsewhere in Idaho and Montana. Biologically, ecologically, culturally. So it's really special to be surrounded by a group of people that love it. So I don't know if that answers it. It's kind of long-winded, but.
Well, I think it does. And I liked your response. I'm happy to hear that you're enjoying both the environment and the volunteers that you're able to work with. That's great. Hey, I know that it's very important this time of the year for you to get the days scheduled, the weekend days for trail ambassadors, and then also your trail work. So let's hear a little bit more about what it would be like. Well, what is a day in the life of a trail ambassador like? Tell us what one might expect if they decide to volunteer with you all.
Yeah, absolutely. So after you sign up on the website, you'll usually get an email or two ahead of, a week or two ahead of your ambassador day. And just to make sure you've got everything you need, we'll get you a handout with prompts of things to ask if you're not sure, and ways to engage the public. But when you're out there, we tend to ask volunteers to arrive early, usually kind of right at the start of the day before a lot of the hikers show up, and find a good place to hang out. And sometimes that means some people like to hike all the way up to the summit and engage and wait for hikers to get there to engage with, or we encourage people if they'd rather just post up at the trailhead, post up 100 yards up the trail or halfway, that's great too. So find a place that's comfortable in the shade, and be prepared to talk to a lot of hikers as they come by. Ask, hey, have you been up here before? Have you seen the mountain goats? What was your experience like if you have? And if not, share a little bit about what are the proper ways to engage with goats. So a lot of hiker interaction, a lot of talking to people. Usually people are really happy to see a face of an agency out there. As we're partnering with the Forest Service, you wear a shirt that has a Forest Service logo. I think that's really helpful for people to see a human face associated with you know, this agency, this land management group. Yeah, it's a lot of engagement, a lot of hiking. You'll be, you know, you'll be blessed with wonderful views and happy people and a lot of huckleberries.
Well, who doesn't love huckleberries? And something that I heard you mentioning at the beginning of your description was that the volunteer does not have to make it to the top of the peak. You don't have to make it all the way up and visit with the goats.
No, absolutely not. Again, the whole point of this program is to engage the hiking public around around safe and ethical ways to engage with the mountain goats. And that could very well happen at the trailhead. You know, we'd be happy to, I'd be happy to meet you there and with a lawn chair and a cooler full of cold drinks, bring a book, you know, notepad, enjoy the shade, enjoy those cedars. Or you can go all the way to the top too.
Either way. Yeah. So I've done it both ways. Okay, full disclosure coming, Sam, you know this, but the listeners may not know yet. I have done this volunteer work with Friends of Scotchman Peak, and I spent a day last summer and one and maybe a year or two before that. And I went with a friend who also helped, and he is here in the background. We're going to introduce him now. Hello, Gary Scruggs.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Sam.
Yes.
Hi, Gary.
Yes. So anyway, Gary and I spent a really kind of a fun day walking. But we didn't make it to the top, did we, Gary?
No, Sam, I was a little bit afraid that I would get up there and become habituated to the goats and I'd start licking them. So
that's why we need a whole other branch of our organization.
So we kept Gary away from the goats.
That was my excuse for not making it to the top. I told you, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll tell you, I enjoyed that so much. I'd never been up there. I've been here for about 7-8 years. And it was such a blast. The hike is so great. And then, as you said, meeting these people who were all very happy to hear from us and we're just telling them to watch out for the goats and actually not let them lick them, but and their equipment. But it was really a very nice experience. I'd recommend it to anybody.
That's awesome, Gary. And thanks to both of you so much for volunteering.
You're most welcome. And I will be signing up again this year because we had fun and Gary's promise not to lick the goats.
Yeah,
and we're going to try to make it to the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be fun.
Beautiful.
Well, let's talk about the goats themselves for just a moment. There aren't that awful many of the goats. There are some, and I'm curious to know if folks who are up there regularly start to understand them as individuals. Does that happen?
You know, that's a good question. I think might be a question that I would love to pose for you know, the listening public as well. If you've been up there a lot of times and you start to get to know them, in my experience, I imagine that people who are up there regularly could probably pick apart individuals based on size, based on the way that their woolly hair kind of mats around.
And of course, we don't really want to get to know them, not in the way that would get us in trouble and that they would become habituated. But I don't know. It just seems like there aren't that many. Maybe they're like named, have goat names that you all know from Friends of Scotchman Peaks, but maybe not.
It's a great question. And I'm really curious about that too. I'm really curious about their movement as well. And something that I'd like to look into this summer is what's their range?
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are people in the listening public who know more about that than I do.
Some of them or some of the regular hikers that are up often enough to start to, you know, get to know who's up there. Okay. Well, so listeners, just bear in mind that if you would like to spend a day on Scotchman Peak and learn a little something about what's happening with goats and this and the organization, this is a nice way to do it. And there's a lot of appreciation from the folks at the organization, but it is really a unique experience. And if a person has not been up that trail and wants to do offer a little help as well, this is a great way to do it. I would say that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. So Sam, you also work with volunteers on trail work, and tell us what a day in the life of a person doing trail work looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So after signing up and again, getting a couple emails, making sure you're prepared. We usually have a rendezvous time early in the morning and you meet at a trailhead. Often we encourage carpooling. So you drive up to the trailhead. For example, last week, we a group of eight other volunteers and I worked on the Ross Creek, the Middle Fork Ross Creek Cedars Trail, which is Trail 142. You know, we got our tools. We had a little safety briefing. We checked in and we hiked as a group. Again, just like Trail Ambassador Sun, this is great. A Trail Ambassador Day. It's a great way to engage with this community, this group of people who love this landscape. These are really social days, really social events. While our objective is to accomplish a specific task in regards to stewarding the trail, our real main goals are to have fun and stay safe and get to know each other. So my dog is dreaming right now, so you might hear him. Should we pause? I don't know if you'll pick that up, but
probably okay. Dreaming about a walk up Scotchman's Peak. Dogs dream about their hikes and walks.
Or the elk that he was smelling last night up Blue Creek. Well, and anyway, on a trail crew day, you'll get a tool and you'll hike in a group to a specific site on the trail that needs work. And this is something that I've reconned, or a trail crew leader has reconned with the Forest Service, and somebody with the Forest Service has said, hey, we're short this, these couple of days, we need help here. So for example, on Trail 142 up the Ross Creek Cedars last week, a group of I got up there and we spent a good couple hours rebuilding a stretch of trail to help make a connection between two points. And the Forest Service happened to be up there working as well. So it worked out really well. Everywhere from rebuilding trail to clearing out logs to brushing, there's work to be done in all kinds of ways. Again, really social time, great way to meet people. Great way to meet like-minded people who enjoy the outdoors, and also people who have, came to this area, maybe for reasons different than yours. So,
yeah. And what I might add is that my experience with doing trail work, whether it's with Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness or with Idaho Trails Association, is that you do just as much as you're able to do. It's not a question of being superhuman. Every bit of help that you can offer is appreciated, and you don't have to be the most fit, example of a wonderful hiker. You need a certain level of fitness, but don't feel like, oh, everyone else is going to be so much stronger than me, I can't do it. That's not the way it works, is it?
That's really true, Julian. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, often, kind of just to reiterate, yeah, our goal is to get some work done, but that comes after having fun and staying safe.
Absolutely.
So, I as a trail crew leader myself, I really encourage people to voice where their comfort levels are and when they're being pushed. And if they're comfortable being pushed beyond that, out of their zone. But we would never do that to the place where you're in an unsafe position. These are really fun social days. And that's a huge part, is connecting people to each other and to the land. And doing some service too.
Totally. Well, I think you may have answered my next question, which is, why might someone want to help out as a trail ambassador or a volunteer? You've summarized it beautifully: a sense of connection, giving something back, and experiencing an environment that you may have never have even known was out there and is so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely, Julie. If I could just tack something onto that, I think if you're a person that cares about the landscape in some form, whether it's you're a hunter and you care about maintaining the wildness of a space, maintaining habitat for elk or deer, or you're a hiker, or you live in Spokane, or you live in another city and you're just passing through Sandpoint listening to the radio and you care about wild places elsewhere, no matter what, this is a great volunteer organizations like the Friends and other organizations across the West provide awesome outlets to give back. I love that phrase that you said. I think I'm constantly asking, what can I give back to this landscape that I've received so much, like spiritual development from, so much wonder, curiosity, and excitement from, and I think stewardship in all kinds of ways is the way to do it. And that's just my own personal opinion. And so I'd encourage you, if you're on the fence about it and you're somebody that cares about this place, it's a great way to do it.
Yeah, they can give you a call or email you and get in touch and see if there's a project or a day that'll work for them. And hopefully they'll have the same kind of connection and experience that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. Well, Sam, as we come to an end of our conversation today, is there anything else you'd like to share about Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness as in upcoming events or contact info, et cetera?
Yeah, we've got plenty of upcoming trail crew days and trail ambassador days, which are primarily on the weekends, where some of which don't have any volunteers on them yet. Now, we have yet to fly some of those on the website or in our newsletter. They're on the website, but we have yet to fly them in our newsletter in some cases. So if you think that you've got a free weekend, or you are interested in hopping on a trail crew and swinging a Pulaski or running a crosscut saw, don't hesitate to go to our website, friendsofscotchmanpeaks.org. Go to that Get Involved tab and you'll see things from everything from building trails to leading a hike to protecting goats. Or feel free to shoot me an email at sam@scotchmanpeaks.org and I can get you set up with that as well. We'll be having all kinds of upcoming events. I'll put a plug in for the far future if you're a writer and you're interested, or you're not a writer but you're just curious. July 17th in the Ross Creek Cedars, we'll be having, let me double check my calendar on that, Julie.
Good idea.
We're July 17th, Steve, and we're going to be having a hike up the Ross Creek Cedars. And if you're, again, a writer, you're interested in doing some creative writing in the mountains under some old growth cedars, that's a great, another way to get in touch that's with the landscape. So I'll put a plug in for that, for the arts community.
Yes, another nice way to experience the Scotchman Peaks wilderness. And the hike up Scotchman Peak is a wonderful hike, but a day at the Ross Creek Cedars is like no other day also. So there are a lot of unique environments to experience within that area, and that'd be another great one for people to try and have a chance to experience this year, yeah, this summer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Julie, for having me and on behalf of the Friends and on behalf of, you know, the greater Friends community, it's a huge gift. Yeah, deeply grateful for that.
It's great. Well, with that concluding statement, which was a heartfelt one and a great one, I'm going to conclude this interview. Listeners who've joined us midway, this is KRFY, and you've been listening to an interview with Sam Olson, who is the Summer Program Coordinator for Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness for 2022. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Julie. Have a great day.